This is Jenny Allen, and you are listening to the Made for This podcast. Welcome back to Made for This podcast. My name is Jenny Allen, and I am here with my beautiful daughter.
What's up, guys? It is Kate Allen Summers.
Have you told everybody what you do?
What I do? I take pictures of people.
It's a beautiful vision.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I do a lot of different, I do a lot of weddings and lifestyle stuff, like family, couple, all that. But what I love to do more than anything is just step into people's really ordinary and capture it for the sake of remembrance. But also, I just feel like capturing it in a beautiful way, it bestows like a significance and an honor on people's just normal and the rhythms that they're doing every day. And
it's pretty incredible, the pictures you take of people in their kitchen together. And
yeah. So that's really sweet. And I love to do that. So
crazy gifted daughter, LOL. Kate Summers.
Thanks for gassing me up, Mom.
Yeah.
Anyway.
This week we're talking about sharing.
Man, that was, what a shameless plug, y'all. I didn't even pay for that ad.
I know. I just was advertising for my daughter. If you need a wedding photographer.
Kate Summers photo.
Especially if you get married in a beautiful place, she will fly there. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Let's talk about this. So this week we're talking about sharing our feelings. And for some people, it's like, finally, like, this is the best part. And for some of you, you're like, this is the worst part. I cannot imagine. And so what we want this to be today is super practical and helpful, to where we really address some of the reasons this is hard and how to do it well. And Kate, you are the best I've ever seen at this. How many people did you have in your wedding? This is embarrassing. You should be embarrassed.
This is so bad.
Especially, how many people were in your wedding? If you just bridesmaids alone.
So we had 19.
19 bridesmaids. Never.
Okay, I was leaving
never in the history of the
college,
world had there
okay,
been more.
Y'all.
And then
I don't regret it. I got heat for it, but I don't regret
let
it.
Let me tell you why. Is because the girl goes deep with people, and she goes deep fast, and she builds a friendship better than just about anyone I've ever known. Which is why you had to have so many. I know them all, and I'm
really
like,
are
yeah,
all
who are you
my best
cut?
Friends.
Yeah,
I know.
So all that to say, you have really deep relationships. So you really are such an expert on this. And one reason I think you have such deep relationships is because you have deep emotions, and you aren't afraid to share them, and you're super vulnerable quickly with people. But we all know that that also has led to hurt. So all of us realize that if we're going to share our emotions, we need to do that with a safe person.
Yeah.
And so let's just talk about the real nitty-gritty of even the times maybe you've done that wrong and what you've learned, and how do you decide, okay, this person's safe?
Man, I'm just thinking about my community group right now. The girls in it, I love them. But at the beginning of, we've been together for a year and a half, almost 2 years now. And one of the first times that like I feel like I was really vulnerable, we were at this coffee shop, and I like said the vulnerable thing and cried. I couldn't look them in the eyes. Like I hadn't known them that long. And I was just talking about how I just really didn't feel like myself, and I felt lost. And I, you know, it was just a really vulnerable moment. And they were kind of like patted me,
poor
like
girl.
said something nice. And then they kind of moved on, and I left, and I regretted it. Like I was like, oh, I shouldn't have said it. And that's with like community group. Like more than anyone, you should be talking with them. And it was probably, they will laugh listening to this. It was probably, but then I fast forward to, you know, last night. I've since brought that to them probably a year later. We were really getting into it. And I said, I really am not holding on to any bitterness with this, but I need to tell y'all this because I felt really hurt. And I don't know, I would want y'all to bring it to me if I had ever done something like this. And you know, they didn't. It wasn't horrible. It just was like, I felt
even
more
safe.
Isolated. Yeah. Like that's your goal when you're with people. It's not to fix their problem. Is you're helping them not feel alone in it. And
oh, you need to say that again.
Mm.
That was good. That'll preach.
But yeah, you're not
your
fixing
goal,
it.
Your goal
in sitting with people is not fixing it.
So they don't
feel alone in it.
So good.
That'll preach. Sounds like some stuff that you've said
before. It sounds
before.
Maybe like you quoted my book. But
I'm dead. I really didn't. That is the other thing. This is so random, but it really like when your bestie be, you know, writing books and stuff, and it's stuff y'all talk about all the time. Like I'll just be talking like I normally talk, and they'll be like, "Oh, you got that from your mom's book," and I'm like, "What?
No, this is just, I just am a product of living in this house together.
Yeah,
with her.
And
all of it was born with me.
Yeah, somebody was like, "Oh, you learned that from your mom," and I was like, "Actually, I taught my mom that, and she wrote about it." It's so funny.
That is really true on this subject, digress, which is why Kate's here.
No, but I was with the same girls last night, and our community group now has to be 3 hours long because we're all sharing so, so vulnerably that we have to set aside 3 hours.
And that's been over a year.
Oh, yes. And I mean, it is so beautiful. And last episode, I had talked about how recently I had a panic attack, and I haven't had one in a really long time. And it was right before my community group actually came over. And the second that they came over, immediately I said, I just need to tell you guys what I'm coming from, like really fresh out of this. And they're so safe now, and it is so good. And
so you're glad you persevered with them.
Yes. Oh, my
but
gosh.
But there are times that you would share with somebody that they really, truly are not safe, and you quickly find out.
So, oh, totally.
So talk a little bit about that, because I do think we all have those experiences in our life. Mm-hmm. But they make us close up, and then we don't share with anybody.
Right. You give up, and you're like, I'm never going to do that
and
again.
And I have a book for you. It's called Find Your People.
Yeah.
And it does take – I mean, one of the qualifications of friendship in that book is just that they need to be vulnerable. Mm-hmm. They need to be trustworthy, and they need to be available. Those things are can be hard to find.
Especially the available one.
Yeah.
That seems like the most simple one, but that one's hard. People are busy.
Yeah.
But yeah, that 3 hours, it's like us prioritizing that every 2 weeks. We're just the girls are together for 3 hours and we're just being available for each other. But you talk about a time where you felt that and wanted to close up and never talk about anything vulnerable ever again.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I remember feeling it especially early in the church plant. So I remember wanting friends, and we had moved there to start the church, and a lot of our best friends were people helping start the church. Mm. And I remember braving some things that were going on in our marriage. Zach and I both shared with this couple. And it was crazy. Like months later, they used those very things we shared to disqualify us to other people, to say, look at them. They don't deserve our trust. And oh, it was so hurtful. I remember having the thought, I can't trust people. And I really need to never open up to people. And I would say that's how I lived for a little while. Mm. And it was super isolating and lonely. And I mean, it took a while to heal from that. And I certainly, right along with the broken friendships, there were healthy friendships. There were people that were being great friends, but it all got tainted because it just, it felt like anybody could turn on you at any point. They felt safe enough to me in that moment to share. So I had to rebuild just the muscle of trust with people. And I think that has happened to everybody. Everybody has stories where they braved saying something and it was used against them. They braved being vulnerable. It was ignored. Or like your story of just, they didn't feel better. It didn't feel better.
Yeah.
And it's why I want everyone to ask for what you need. Mm. Sometimes people will come to me, they'll message me or they'll come and tell me a story and they'll say something like, I've tried this and it doesn't work. I've tried sharing and it doesn't work. And my first question to them always is, how did you prepare the person you were sharing with to receive it? What did you do to prepare them? We have to be people that use our words and that ask for what we need. So when you're about to sit down and you're gonna bravely share like, hey, this is an emotion I've been struggling with lately, or like you, I had a panic attack. If this is a new friend or this is someone that you haven't gone that deep with before, you have to start by saying, listen, I'm going to share this with you and I don't want you to tell me what you think. I just want you to listen and I want you to tell me how it makes you feel because that would mean the most to me. And then when you finish sharing, they're going to try to tell you what they think and then you're going to remind them. And you're going to say, listen, I understand. I was like, I really don't want to hear what you think. I just want to hear how it makes you feel. And it will feel awkward. It will feel so painfully awkward. And when they're not good at this, it's just going to feel cumbersome. But people can learn to be better at this. And we don't give up on people because they're not good at it. I'm so glad you didn't give up on me. I mean, I wasn't good at this. And you kept saying, Mom, what I need is this. Like, you kept using your words to get me there, my emotionally mature child. And I got there, you know, but and even in conversations, I would get there. I'd go, okay, I hear you. And I would zip it. And I would listen and I would feel what you felt. And so again, remember how powerful it is to change, reframe your wording from I think to I feel when you're sharing with someone and when they're sharing back with you to ask for that. I think it's a fair thing to ask for.
There are some stories about my mom and my grandmother, my great-grandmother, that I truly never get tired of hearing. And some of them are hilarious and heartfelt. Some of them are like a little bit tear jerking, but the way my mom retells some of these stories always brings me so much joy. And so just in time for Mother's Day, I found the perfect gift that captures all of her stories for my family forever. It's called Storyworth. Storyworth helps you preserve precious memories and stories from your mom for years to come. So here's how it works. Each week, Storyworth will email your loved one a thought-provoking question that you get to help pick. One of the questions I loved was, what are some choices you made about how to raise me? And Storyworth makes the writing process really easy. So all your mom needs to do is respond to the email with a story. Long or short, it doesn't really matter, and you'll get emailed a copy of your mom's response as they're submitted over the course of the year. And after that whole year, Storyworth compiles your mom's stories and photos into a beautiful keepsake hardcover book that you'll be able to share and revisit for generations to come. I hope my boys always remember what Blondie, my mom, and Nana, my husband's mom, have given to them in their faith, in their life, in their wisdom. And I love that with Storyworth, you can do exactly that. Give all the moms in your life a unique, heartfelt gift you'll cherish for years. Storyworth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase when you go to storyworth.com/madeforthis. That's storyworth.com/madeforthis to save $10 on your first purchase.
I talk about a story in the book where I did it with my small group. And they were so dear about it and so good at it. But we are all kind of fixers, our whole entire small group of women. Now, it's hysterical because all the men are feelers. And they all feel more so. Not all of them, but several of them.
Little feeler men.
Your dad is. And so they're all more feely. And we're more like fix it. And it's just something we've had to grow in and do better at.
Yeah. Something that I was thinking about from being like the long term of being sharing with people and the messy of figuring out how to do it well. I mean, it takes commitment to go through that pain almost of the potential of them handling it wrong and then having to heal and then being vulnerable again. And, you know, just having to do that kind of rhythm over and over again is really hard. And I think something that I've seen after fighting for those safe places is there's parts of my heart that I didn't even know were there that needed healing.
Wow. Yeah.
And I couldn't have known that in myself.
Right. It took friends drawing that out.
Yes.
And people you trust. Yeah.
Yes. And specifically, this goes both ways. Like, we need to learn how to be good question askers, and we need people in our life that are asking good questions to sift through all the complexities of what we're feeling and going
through. Can you think of a few that people could use? I mean, I have two that we use in our confessional community, and it's, what are you grieving and what are you longing for? Mm-hmm. And those are kind of the two questions we answer regularly in our group. And then we respond to that with words like, I feel sad that you're grieving this, because so many of the griefs we are feeling are not things we can fix. They're things that are a part of our life, and they're probably not going to go away anytime soon. And so we've learned to just be in the pain with each other and not feel so alone. What are some good questions that you feel like lead to those kind of conversations?
Well, one, so much of it, I mean, the question, what else? Like, when somebody's sharing something hard and, you know, they're feeling like it's too much and you're not going to know what to do with it, all the things, and continuing to lean in, or they're sharing sin, and just the question of simply like, oh, like what else in different forms is so helpful, because people a lot of times
feel freedom,
abbreviate things for the sake of it being palatable and they don't want to like be whatever too much. And so what else I think is a really good question. Also just, when you really listen, it's just even in the details. Like, that is like a way of making someone not feel alone, is that you're listening enough to ask informed questions based on what they're saying and following the rabbit holes and seeing past the circumstance and seeing their heart in the circumstance, I think has been something. So like a practical example of that might be, I could walk you through my week and I could tell you things this week that made it really hard and we could just like stay there. Or you could ask, in that moment that I was really anxious about work and it felt like the variables were everywhere and I felt so defeated, somebody might keep asking questions down that. And then all of a sudden I'm crying because I'm like, yeah, I feel really discouraged because it feels like my ADD keeps me from like accomplishing God's goals for my life. Like, oh, like that's a huge thing that I'm grieving, like you're saying in that. And grief doesn't have to just be these huge things that you think of grief. Like, there's little griefs
all the time.
In everything.
Yeah.
And something that's been reframed for me that
is so interesting, my counselor told me, is right now my friends are grief and surrender. And something about seeing grief as my friend, of that's how I heal, has been super helpful. Of little griefs all the time, of things that make me sad. But as far as questions, yeah, like those informed questions based on what they're saying make, A, it helps them to keep sharing and not feel like a burden. And it shows that you're with them in it and you care. Another question that I heard recently, I just am a collector of questions. I love questions. I think they're the very best thing. They're so helpful. One that I heard recently was just for like how somebody's doing spiritually. The question was, how close do you feel to God right now and why? And that question, it's such a good starting point because it's showing where they feel relationally with God. And then the why is how they're qualifying that. And a lot of times that can be skewed. And so I feel like spiritually that's been a good starting point with people and just continuing to ask questions with that. Well, why? Da-da-da-da-da.
I think it's so practical and helpful to give people a few handles. Mm-hmm. And I just want you to know that it's worth it. It's worth it because it actually does heal your brain to not be alone in your pain. Yeah. And so when you have an experience pain, to have those people to share it with is everything. And so we are big believers. If you haven't heard us say it, you will hear us say it. I am a huge believer in the local church. When Kate's talking about her community group, that was an assigned group. You didn't pick that group.
Yeah.
My group largely was chosen for me.
Totally.
We have submitted to being in community. And it isn't always easy, but it has felt very worth it to live in this way. And certainly some of our closest friends are also people that are family or that we've chosen, but joining a church and then serving and joining a small group is one of the fastest ways to have that kind of community. And you have to be someone who isn't afraid to build it, right?
Yeah.
You have to be someone who says, I will create this. And people are craving it. You know, when I did the work on Find Your People, 3 in 5 people prior to COVID were lonely. So that means it's probably more now. So we've got a lonely generation. People are going to be glad you asked. And they need this too.
To wrap us up, I'm going to read Galatians 6:2. It says, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ.
Big statement. I mean, when you think of the law of Christ, it's the works of Christ. It's to live in the way of Christ. To live in the way of Christ means to be in deep, deep community. And what Christ did was he carried the burdens of others. He bore with people. Can you imagine? He's God. He's perfect. He has endless emotional capacity, and he's dealing with broken people. All the years that he's here, he bore with them, carried their burdens with them, and was empathizing with them. So it is our joy to be in the same way as Christ, to receive that when we need it and to give it when others need it. I want you to text your questions or thoughts to our phone number. It's 214-225-6267. And we'll be reading them, going through them, and answering some of them on the podcast as we go. The number is 214-225-6267. We want you to engage. This is so vulnerable to stick this out into the whole wide world. And so as you read it, be sure and let us know how it's impacting you.